Yeah, there's tons of dinos that live in the ocean. Good job.
Absolutely.
This kid is like obsessed with dinosaurs and Godzilla in the
As
ocean.
it should be. So good things.
Yes, the good things.
Important things.
Although we're still working on the whole thing of Godzilla is fictional, not real. So that's
What? Is guacamole a fruit salad?
What is the best milkshake for bringing boys to the yard?
Ostriches are dinosaurs.
Don't piss off old people. New game.
What do you mean it gives you Arby's mouth?
Artisanal muck duck balls.
I think they call that auto fellatio.
I want to high five a shark.
Welcome to Bar Banter. Relax, have a drink with us as we debate the most controversial topics in the world today.
On today's podcast, what is the best commercial jingle? Which Disney princess is most likely to win an actual MMA fight? And lastly, what is the second best popcorn topping? But first, the man who thought he could purchase a military by going to the Dollar General, our guest, Garrett Jones.
I love that. That's a great hat.
Garrett Jones, what are you drinking?
Tonight I am drinking, there's a local beer based out of Sacramento called Onibee, and they have various styles of Japanese beer, and the one I'm drinking is a yuzu white ale called Koma Inu.
Oh my gosh, I want to try that. That sounds awesome.
It is delicious. It has a nice little citrusy aftertaste, and it's amazing. They have like, it's like 5%. It's not very strong. It's not the strongest beer I've had, but it's pretty decent.
Nice.
Garrett, is there anything you would like to tell our listeners?
Yeah, well,
listeners.
I'm sure you've got a bigger audience than I do on YouTube.
Mom.
So speaking of which, I host a show on YouTube called The Right Way, where I do interviews with indie authors. Sometimes I get some big names on there. We do top 10 book recommendations, and I do creative writing tips. I've been doing this for about 5 years now, and October 7th, I start season 6.
That's pretty incredible. And yeah, we definitely don't have more followers. I think we've got 20 followers on YouTube, so we're not big on YouTube yet.
Wait, we have 20 on YouTube?
I think so. I think that's like 50 on Instagram somehow. I have no idea.
Have a party?
Yeah. As soon as we get a dollar from somewhere, we'll have a party.
Yes. Yeah. Besides that, I also am an author. I have 5 books in an ongoing high fantasy series. The 5th book actually just came out in February. And then I have some other stuff that other projects that I'm working on.
That is incredible. Good, sir. Incredible. Let's go with Rick Madison because he's not paying attention. What are you drinking?
Well, you know, I'm carrying on my Long Island tradition. It's cheers to everybody involved. Ben, what you got over there?
Tried something new tonight. Did a smoky old fashioned with High West Campfire. Really enjoying it, actually. Yeah, I've never used any kind of peated whiskey to do an old fashioned, so loving it. Drew Mullis, what are you drinking?
That time of year, so I'm drinking an Oktoberfest.
Close.
From my own brewery. And it's absolutely delicious. Travis, what are you drinking?
Well, I started off with a new bourbon that I purchased that I don't remember the name of, but I'm actually just getting over we'll call it a tummy virus. So that didn't sit well with me. So I switched to Miller Lite because it's a little easier on the tummy. And then some would actually say, it's Miller time! Is that a jingle? No?
Yeah, it's a slogan.
I'm glad we're getting this out of the way.
That brings me to a question, but go ahead. Finish your ridiculous segue.
That was it. I'm done. Is your ridiculous segue, is your question jingle versus
jingle
slogan?
I would like
well,
to.
Well, no, because like obviously it's about the jingle, but what if the slogan has become so popular that every time someone says it, you sing it?
I need an example. What slogans are you singing that don't have music to them?
Well, okay, so I have one on my list that people like to sing or rap.
Well, real quick, let me just like cue in
the actual.
Guys, what's the best commercial jingle? Ben, start us off, jerk.
Hey, I'm gonna jump out there.
It was even worse than your segues.
Please don't edit that. Less filling.
Just let that roll.
Oh yeah, that's not coming out.
All right, so I have what I think are the best jingles. For me, it's all about memorability. It's like, what are you gonna remember? What do you still sing today, even though you saw it 30 years ago? And I'm not saying like a fast food place because you drove by it and you're like, oh, I remember the jingle. I'm talking about a jingle that in a random conversation that has nothing to do with the product, you just start singing it. So for me, there was one slogan that a lot of people like to rap or something, and that was Puppy Monkey Baby from the Mountain Dew commercial. But it's not really a jingle. It's just something that people like to, you know, do, like Puppy Monkey Baby, Puppy Monkey Baby. It's kind of like a rap thing. But as far as the best jingle for me, and I think it's because there's been so many different spoofs and things off of it, but it's Ricola. It's Ricola. And then, of course, the spoof commercial of Ebola was hilarious.
I don't know that one.
So, but I would say that whenever something in a conversation would come up over the years and it fit, and you could just use that tone and that jingle and enter any one word, like, it's memorable to me. It still comes up. So that's my pick.
So your pick is Ricola?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
Cause the Puppy Monkey Baby was
terrifying.
Well, I meant in terms of, is it a jingle?
Yeah.
I would put it in the solid maybe. You could make you an argument, but Ricola absolutely is a jingle.
Yeah. I was today years old when I learned whatever that
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Was.
I hate it.
We all hate it, but for me, it's all about so memory. Like what you remember, and everyone hates that slogan, and we all still remember it, except for Rick. Because
yeah, but it's not a jingle. It's
a I'm that's why I asked.
It sounds like something in Ricola.
I honestly don't remember it, and
I don't remember it at all. I even just watched it, and it does not ring a bell.
And the commercials for it, and it's terrifying.
Okay, anybody else?
Nope, that's it. We're done.
Yay!
All right, moving on.
Yeah. All right. Next segment.
Garrett, what's the best commercial jingle?
I think the commercial jingle that always sticks out to me every time is the State Farm jingle. Because
Do the jingle!
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Great, great pick. Definitely one of the longest running that I know of. And as Rick just pointed out, used in a variety of ways, and I think that's really important when it comes to what the best jingle is going to be. So I think that's a good front runner. Rick or Drew, what are the best jingles? What you got?
Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, that was my backup.
I was hoping.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
That's a good one.
Sing that one too loudly, because then James Corden will get excited and he'll show up here.
Nice. Yeah, look out.
Meow, meow, meow.
Is that still a thing?
I mean, probably.
I don't know. I don't watch TV anymore.
I'm sure they still make it.
I personally haven't. I've seen State Farm commercials recently, or at least heard them on the radio.
Oh, I haven't heard that commercial in 20 years.
Yeah, meow.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's. I mean, beyond like the product,
the brand still exists. Yes,
but I don't know if as a
because you don't need it to exist. Anytime you hear a cat meow, you just
but the fact that we still remember it and it doesn't exist in current day says something.
Absolutely, no. It's a really good answer.
It's not. It's a throwaway answer.
What?
I mean, yeah, you
remember. That's like not a throwaway for me.
Yeah, it was solid.
It was in my top four.
Yeah, if you're a cat owner, it's not a throwaway item.
That's fair. True, what you got over there?
I'm having a really hard time deciding what the best is.
Do you need your baby back?
Baby back was...
That was top five for me.
Was on there, but I think...
Are you a big kid now?
a little bit going back to what Ben said, but something that's been used in multiple realms is like memes and that kind of thing. The what would you do
for a Klondike bar? I did not think of that one.
Great one.
My mom actually used to use that jingle as a way of getting me to do some kind of random chore when she would buy the Klondike bars during the summer, special desserts and stuff.
That's smart.
Do you guys need a break real quick?
I'm good.
No, my God.
No.
You cannot segue into your answer.
Sure I can. Because no. I need someone to give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Best jingle. The fact that they recognize how good of a jingle that is by just subtly playing the song through like other people humming it for a commercial, and you know, you instantly recognize it. It's the best. It can be, it's been transformed, it's transcended into its own secondary jingle, and now they have like it. It's just so good. It's just so good. And someone mentioned Chili's Baby Back Ribs. I would have gone with that one as number two. That's my second one. So the fact that that didn't make it to anyone's top I'm a little upset about, but
I have 12 listed.
Jesus.
I had Slinky as number 7.
Oh, that's actually
that one. Slinky. Yeah.
Everyone loves
that. Well, I'm piggybacking off of that one because there's a fake jingle for anybody who has ever watched Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Log.
Oh yeah.
Rolls and Sarah's wandering pairs, rolls over your neighbor's dog. What's great for a snack and fits on your back. It's log, log, log.
I do remember that. That's good one.
Great.
Classic.
They use the same melody as the Slinky jingle, and they just played with it and redid the wording, and because there's no trademark or copyright on the melody.
Mm.
Just on the words.
If only it was in a commercial.
I know, right?
It's in a fake commercial.
Nope. Doesn't count.
What I find interesting from this is we all went, I'm fairly certain we all went TV jangles.
Yes. Here.
Is that the difference between a jingle and a jangle? Is one is on the radio and one is on the TV?
No. They're still, I mean, you guys probably don't have it out here. I mean,
Real Men of Genius.
Probably heard it. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
It's on my list.
But Danny's probably heard it, but In-N-Out Burger used to do huge radio ads all throughout AM radio and even FM.
AM?
Yeah, I grew
Can
up
you listening say to like huge AM ads?
Yeah.
Minor AM ads, maybe?
Not modern day, maybe 30 years ago. But their jingle was In-N-Out, that's what our hamburgers are all about. And I'm not going to sing it because I can't hit those notes. But it was always cool because, like, yeah, in the middle of the commercial, they'd have John Goodman come on and talk about how good the milkshakes were, how good the hamburgers were, how good the fries were. And, you know, if you've ever been to California, you've eaten In-N-Out Burger, you understand just how delicious it is.
I need to give honorable mention to Oscar Mayer as a company.
No, you don't. Because they have two very memorable jingles. Come on. They are fantastic.
The Wiener jingle and the Bologna jingle.
Yes, they do.
Only Come company on, I can think of that has two separate products with an individual jingle that have stood the test of time. Everyone else kind of focuses on one. Or they have the same product and come up with a different one later on.
I do want to put them memorable jingles.
They've gone through several iterations, I feel like.
But for
they were lost for a long time.
It's just McDonald's.
It's not entirely.
Or if we're talking about the secret sauce jingle versus.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Okay. I might give that to you versus like ba da ba ba ba.
I'm loving it. Oh, sorry.
But no, I agree with your original point.
Well, McDonald's also did a jingle for their Big Mac too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Back in
all
the
beef patties, special sauce,
whatever
it is. I don't know. I
know everyone stumbled through that because they couldn't remember the full order.
It's fine.
It's just so much to remember.
I used to know it.
there's so many fast food jingles out there. I kind of took them all off my list just because I don't know if they all kind of feel like the same.
Name
to me.
Two.
McDonald's has them. Burger King has them. $5 foot long. Like, there's a ton of them out there. I just kind of took them all off.
Okay. I'll give you the Subway one, not giving you the Burger King because you didn't name it, but that's fair.
I didn't. I chose not to include Quiznos because I've done that on a previous episode. So I chose not to put it on my list.
I was saving that.
I know I wanted it, but
that one, I feel like
I had done it.
No one mentioned, don't you wanna?
Fanta Fanta.
That's a good one.
Fanta Fanta.
I lived in Japan for a year and they played that commercial a lot.
I don't
there, and I've tried to block that out because it traumatizes me.
Yeah, it's not a good one. Is it stick in your brain? Yeah, absolutely. Is it good? No. Let's recap the ones we put forth.
Wait, yeah, hold on, please. I have one more because I know Travis hates it when I add more onto it. What's the best part of waking up?
Folgers. If it's Folgers in your cup, then you're going to have a pretty bad day.
No, kick like, that out of here.
Let's be honest.
It's not good coffee. It's not. But everyone knows that jingle.
Might as well.
Because you know it doesn't make it the best. Because I know some bad jingles as well.
So just they stick in your brain.
Just because there's staying power does not make it the best.
800-588-2300.
The one that needs to be mentioned, the one that absolutely needs to be mentioned is, I have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
What great one. Why was that not there?
What? 8777 cash down.
Head on. That's what I mean. Directly to the forehead. That's head on. Apply directly to the forehead.
Head on is not a jingle.
I love it.
It's spoken word jingle. I don't know. Anyway, the ones that we submitted as number ones
have just now started. So
everything we've talked about before now was just a
doesn't count.
I don't every kiss know. Begins with K.
That's not
there.
Not
you one. There you go.
We've got Ricola. We've got State Farm, Meow Mix, Klondike Bar, and Kit Kat. You submitted it. Of course it made it.
The fact that it wasn't rejected outright.
It's a jingle. We didn't say right. It was.
You're right.
All
you're
in
right.
Favor you're of on. Voting out Meow Mix as our first one out.
I mean, I would do it.
Cool.
Yeah. I love it, but it's not my number.
Ben, I like Ricola. I just don't think it's the best because it's like a word.
That's know. What makes it so catchy. It's one word and like, it's so memorable.
It's more of a sound than a jingle.
I can't vote Ricola out just on principle.
You can't vote it out because I want to vote it out?
No, because it's halfway to just calling
wait, did like, you just
the
say,
Rick call. So,
you know? Say meow? The guy who came up with Meow Mix?
Yeah,
I'm not saying Ricola is good. I'm saying that it's close to my name, so I have to support it. Is what I'm saying.
It's like if he made his own soda beverage, it would be
Ricola. Right. Yes, thank you.
I got Rick you. Cola. I'm here for it.
Starting in 2024.
I mean, Rick, RC Cola basically there already.
Yeah, I'm gonna rival Tab. So here we go.
I'm gonna say Ricola is the next out.
I'm okay with that.
Just because it's not of the jingles that are there.
It's not really a jingle.
It's a more word. A it's a sung word versus a jingle. I like it. Actually one of my
aren't all jingles sung words?
Words, plural. His is sung word.
Ricola,
one word. So is it really a jingle if it's a word? Like
the more of a chant is that what we're? Is that
I'm
what
gonna need mean? I'm gonna need Webster's definition of jingle.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. I'm a big fan of where this is going.
If Webster says it's a jingle, I will
be considered.
Here we go.
I'm listening. To jingle. We need the noun form. A jingle.
Okay, well, here's the verb. One.
I just said I want the noun.
Give yeah.
The noun.
Well, all right. The noun. A the light noun? Clinking or tinkling sound. So none of ours qualified. So that was 1A. Here's 1B. A catchy repetition of sounds in a poem, which I feel like would probably disqualify Ricola, unless we consider that a haiku.
It's not. A, it's definitely not a haiku.
It's three syllables. That's
here we go. Here we go.
Syllables doesn't work.
A short verse or song marked by a catchy repetition, and since Ricola is not repetition,
okay, I feel
like it cannot be.
Well, if that's the case, we need to put meow, 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 meow.
We already voted that one out. And
no, actually, that's if, the
if
one.
If anything, it's the most repetition.
It is the most repetitive.
That's right. But it doesn't quantify how many repetitions.
Unless we repetition. Want to put back in, I want my baby back, baby.
Yes!
I'm good with putting that big back in. Yeah, I mean, it was good enough for Austin Powers.
Chili.
Or Scrubs, where they never say.
When is he
going to
say riff?
Never. Never do.
All right. So Ricola's out. So that means we've got State Farm, Klondike Bar, Kit Kat,
and Baby Bag.
Maybe Baby Bag.
Yes.
Yeah. Baby Bag.
Because out of all of those, I'm taking Baby Bag. So yeah.
Okay. So we'll put Baby Bag back in.
Nice. If I'm paying attention to a jingle, because the last three are food items.
Yes.
I would wholeheartedly say I'm going to have to go with my gut on this one, because it's whatever is going to drive me to eat that food.
That is where your gut is. Yeah.
If I get the opportunity to eat some good barbecue, I'm going to eat barbecue. I mean, ice cream's good. I love ice cream. And I do like chocolate. Kit Kat is delicious. But barbecue's going to win out.
But that doesn't necessarily make it a good jingle. Just because it's barbecue, you know,
if it's good enough to trigger me to want to go get that food, it's good.
I'll agree with that, but that's what that is with any, that is marketing in general. So if it triggers you enough to go get it, but is it the jingle that is triggering the barbecue, and then your love of barbecue is taking it the rest of the way, like barbecue is higher on the list for you versus chocolate? Or is it like,
I've never gotten this metaphysical about it before.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Do it. This is what we're here for.
We don't normally get this dive far in. The first question.
You never know what's going to be the one.
Rick, while Garrett's thinking about it, if you had to pick between those four, which one would you pick?
Need you to remind me of the four again.
Jesus, pay attention.
I know it's Kit Kat and Baby Back Ribs. What are the other two?
State Farm and Klondike Bar.
As much as I hate it, I think I'm going to have to go Kit Kat Bar.
Okay. We'll say that. I'm not going to take that as a victory yet. Is anyone willing to leave their camp for Kit Kat Bar or another?
I'm going to jump camp for Baby Back Ribs.
Okay.
All right.
Because I enjoy it in my mouth.
Okay.
But you don't, and eating it.
Okay, I was gonna say, do you enjoy eating it? All right, so Garrett, now we're back to you.
Who doesn't love a Chili's Baby Back Rib?
I mean, they're not nobody. That good.
Garrett already picked Baby.
They're
back
not
ribs.
Amazing.
Right, I'm still walking Baby Back Ribs.
Okay, we'll do that. I'm okay with that. If Baby Back Ribs is the one we're going with, that's fine. I'm here for it. Let's lock it in. The one that no one submitted
just magically appeared. And you know what? Okay. Does that make it the best? Like it organically?
Yes. I think so.
Because we all know it and none of us submit it. Hey, I'm going to give that a clap on, clap off the clapper.
Randomly throwing out yet another jingle.
Do you guys think Ariel likes barbecue?
Yes.
No.
Shit, I broke another string. Don't worry, call Ray over at Rocket Guitar Repair. Rocket Guitar Repair? Rocket Guitar Repair. With over 50 years playing, building, and repairing guitars, Rocket Guitar Repair can get your guitar repaired rocket quick. Call Rocket Guitar Repair at 678
800-400-3062 or visit rocketguitarrepair.com.
It's kind of already did the segue, so we'll just go with that one. That's my segue after the segue, right? Sweet. Done. Guys, which...
You got your segue, and I've got my hoverboard.
Yeah. Segue about a segue.
But it was about a hoverboard. I got to thinking, which Disney princess would most likely win in an actual MMA fight? And my thinking around this, for my answer anyway, I don't want to say set loose parameters because we don't ever really establish them. But in my eyes, my brain hole, this is a fight with MMA rules, right? So I would assume Elsa can't use her ice magic, right? It's got to be fisticuffs.
Just because no one's ever done it doesn't mean it's not allowed.
No. That's
true, although it would turn true. MMA into Mortal Kombat.
Right. That was my first thing to throw out there. The second one was, this is not against each other, right? This is not a free-for-all with the Disney princesses. This is a fight against a real MMA fighter. Again, kind of put a scenario around it. My thought is they are fighting the lowest ranked MMA fighter, regardless of gender or any other things out there, right? It is a professional MMA fighter, but they are the worst ranked MMA fighter thing. So which princess is most likely to win an actual MMA fight?
Well, I'm going to say, and this is just because I'm a writer and I get nerdy and pedantic like this, but if we're talking animated princesses, I'm going to say hands down, it's going to be probably Merida from Brave, because rugged Scottish lass, she knows how to hold her own. She fought a bear, for crying out loud. But if we're going live action, I'm throwing out Thor. Because in the comics, which are now owned by Disney,
she's a goddess, not a princess.
Oh, no. Thor is Prince of Asgard, and the title passes to whoever who is holding the hammer. And so while Jane Foster was holding the hammer, she was technically listed as Thor, and while she was goddess of thunder, yes, she that still technically passed the title of Princess of Asgard.
Does that, and I'm getting real specific here because I love the answer, does wielding the hammer mean you are a prince or princess of Asgard? Period. The end.
The title Thor does.
So just Thor in general means prince or princess of Asgard. Or
if you are worthy of the power of Thor.
So even when Odin dies.
So why not Captain America?
Thor, also true, but he is not a Disney princess.
You're right. That would be a cruel reason.
Right. I'm just poking holes to poke holes. Is once Odin dies, there is no King of Asgard. So that would assume that whoever is prince or princess then becomes king and or queen of Asgard. And because Thor, at the time of Jane Foster wielding Mjolnir, is holding Stormbreaker, right? I think.
Yep.
That means she would actually be queen of Asgard and not princess. So, Garrett, my question is she technically princess or is she queen?
It would be, you got to think of royal line of succession. If she's not crowned, she doesn't ascend to the throne.
Well, this person's not going to win. So,
quick segue. I would pay to see Natalie Portman fight Ronda Rousey. I think I would quite enjoy that.
But now we're in a different conversation.
Sorry, we're going back to princess.
It would still be a good fight.
Garrett, I like your take because you came from two sides and. Honestly, that's what we do. We try to come up with the uniqueness.
And you went kind of nerdy on it, which
is perfect.
I appreciate it.
For me, I definitely concentrated a little bit more on the traditional princesses. You know, I tried to come out with some outliers. you know, like Anne Hathaway from Princess Diaries and stuff like that. But none of them are really sticking. For me, it was always Mulan. You know, I grew up with Mulan.
Not a princess.
So definitely Rick's princess. Right.
She's not a princess.
She was. If you look up,
I mean, sure, Disney has listed her like that for selling points. But if you look at what happens in the story, she never once marries a prince.
Right.
Nor not does she from a ever royal lineage. Get crowned by any royalty. She's honored by the emperor, but is never a princess.
Okay. Well, then I'm out. Drew, what you got?
Hold on. So the question was which Disney princess, right?
Princess.
We didn't say princess. So in
clearly a Disney princess. Literally Disney classifies her as a princess.
Right. And Disney classifies her as a princess, therefore she is a Disney princess. So I'm okay with accepting that answer.
Yeah, Mulan was mine also.
Yeah, it doesn't say Disney royalty, it says Disney princess, and she's classified as a
So like my I was Mulan, my runner up was Moana, and then my third was Pocahontas. And technically, like, there wasn't a hierarchy of like kings and queens and that kind of thing in some of those, but they're considered.
I'll give you Pocahontas because
in the lore that he wasn't a king of his tribe. He was the chief of the tribe.
You're right. But of all of them, that is the closest to quote.
Okay. If we're going closest, but
royalty.
If you guys are splitting hairs enough to say that Mulan wasn't a princess after the fact of everything that happened, and it was assumed that she probably married the prince afterwards or was taken into.
Mulan doesn't marry a prince. In fact,
Mulan 2, a straight to DVD or VHS movie that's not considered canon, Mulan does marry a prince.
No, she doesn't. She marries Shang Li, who is a general.
It's this website says he's a prince. So,
which website?
The one that I already moved off of because
having a daughter who watched the Mulan movies religiously.
Were they in the room? In the Wreck-It Ralph, where they had all the Disney princesses in it.
That's a very good point.
I will accept anybody that was in that room.
Well, now we gotta go look it up.
I'm giving a generous read to Princess. Let's not get into.
Can I hop out there with the real answer real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick. I'm going to split hairs in a second, but I want to hear you first. So.
Nala is going to win any MMA fight.
Yes!
God damn.
The lioness herself is going to mess up any of y'all's picks if we're not
She's not a princess.
Yes, she is. Simba is the king of Pride Rock.
She's a queen.
That is the animal. Animal kingdom.
Sorry. When she married Simba, Simba
was hairs.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll go with my backup if that's the route we're taking.
I like where Rick's going with this, but it's going to turn really dark really fast because here's why. Yikes. When you have a pride of lions, the dominant male, in this case Mufasa, sires all the offspring from the lionesses, which means Nala and Simba are half siblings, making her a princess queen.
Hey, and she's back in the running. I appreciate that. But I have a backup if I need to. If we don't want to accept Nala, I'm okay with it.
Also, still the animal kingdom doesn't really count.
It does count.
No. Hold on. In MMA, how?
Fight.
They you don't fight have
some fisticuffs. Fight an animal.
There are no animals in MMA outside of humans.
All right.
It hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not in MMA.
I don't think that would. I don't think
I have a backup. If we don't fight Nala, I have a backup. That's fine.
I'm gonna put an asterisk next to it and maybe we'll come back to it.
I'm just saying, if you were to put Nala,
if you were to put a
lion in an MMA ring, I'm just saying the outcome would be clear.
Eve from WALL-E, I'm putting her in.
Well, it depends on also at what age.
And
you're right.
What's your backup?
It would be
Shuri from Black Panther.
But see, that's why I'm gonna take out your Thor because. You're naming princesses that Disney acquired. They didn't create these princesses, so they're not Disney princesses.
Name me one princess that they didn't acquire. from their inception. Wait, most of the classic princesses that we have encountered.
I'm not naming classic princesses.
Acquired, doesn't matter.
I'm only naming new age princesses in my argument today.
They're still acquired from the.
Will you tell me what?
Didn't you say Mulan?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, isn't Mulan? I would be willing to.
Every Disney princess was created by Disney. No, every Disney princess was adapted from a story created by someone else.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Including The Lion King, which was adapted from that other like-for-like shot video, whatever, from Africa. Well, Hamlet, yes, but there was actually something that came out like a couple years ago where they found a shot. Yeah.
Anyway, Disney MMA to history.
Rick, what's your backup?
So my backup is I'm gonna side with Drew on this one, and I'm gonna go Pocahontas as my backup.
Did Drew say Pocahontas formally?
It was in the list of mentions.
If Drew's I need
to
my
go,
list.
Actually, you know what? I change it. If I need to go formally, let me go Jasmine. I think Jasmine would be a solid runner up.
She's a sultaness, not a princess. No,
she doesn't have Raja on her side.
Correct. I agree.
Okay. Or the genie.
Or the genie. Right. None of that. I'm taking all of that into account.
One thing we haven't talked about, and I'm a little shocked we haven't gotten there, is prep time. Because so far, everyone's taking it at like kind of face value. What would they do now? Prep time. So if this fight is 6 months from now, right? How does that change the answer? Right. And so I think with enough prep time, someone who's already been at least mentioned, and that's Pocahontas, would kick some fucking ass. She's already she's got the survival skills already. She's already super fucking hard. Like, she can take some shit. But if you also like give her some training for 6 months, she could kick anyone's ass, but like she could kick some fucking, like, she'd be an incredible fighter.
But would she want
to? I would agree with that.
Yes, she would.
She would.
She paints with all the colors of the wind. She is a pacifist at heart.
One of the colors of the wind is MMA.
As a character, she doesn't want. That's the whole deal. The whole deal with Pocahontas is that she doesn't want to fight, and she wants them to live with the land,
right?
Use any skills to kill anybody.
But if she had to,
maybe she
would.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
if John Smith's life was on the line, left. She would totally sacrifice herself in front of the axe like she has. So therefore, equivalent, she would get into the octagon.
Yeah, she fights,
not think so.
McGregor would put John Smith into the scissor hold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what John Smith's life on the line, unless she gets in the octagon and she's got to train for 6 months and a Disney Native American montage happens. Yeah, she's going to get in the octagon.
But then you could use that same argument with any other princess that we've.
But I agree. But I think if you took every single Disney princess, you let them train for 6 months, Pocahontas is going to come on top. She still has the best chance.
Mulan. Who is already has
the 6 months of training, I don't think can get much better.
And you put more training on top of that
I think she's peaked. I think I'm not saying Mulan's bad. She's my number two. I think she's peaked. I think Pocahontas has like just the overall wisdom and experience of just being a badass already. And then on top of that, like, hey, let's actually hone these skills and make you an actual fighter. She's just going to go out there and straight up murder people. But in a
badass does not equate. She, as a princess, as a pacifist, would not even enter the ring.
She would. She would go in.
That's my opinion.
She would take them out. She'd just do like a little pressure point, knock them out and be done.
This is Native Americans, not East.
She's a Native
East
American.
Asia.
They have pressure points. You don't know that.
West Asia.
All right. So to recap our list, we've got Merida / Jane Foster.
I like Merida.
We've got Mulan. We've got Nala / Jasmine. And then we had a hint of Shuri / Black Panther. Which one of those most likely to win an MMA fight?
I'm still torn between Pocahontas and Merida. I think they both would be... Well, I mean, yeah, we could throw in Mulan there, but if we're talking about characters that need extra time to train, it would be those first two.
Sure.
Character that doesn't need training.
Wait, hold on. Merida is good with a bow.
Have you ever seen a lion...
Be smart.
Move up to take down a gazelle. Stuck
but Mulan has hand-to-hand
man naked?
hand-to-hand combat training with a sword. She's up close and personal training using a sword to actually kill people, as opposed to Merida, who, yes, fought a bear, but still her primary weapon is a bow. If we're in a ring,
yeah, we're not in Hunger Games right now.
Not that useful.
Yeah, no Katniss Everdeen here.
Disagree. I'm gonna vote out. I don't know if Nala will win, but I'm willing to put Nala in if we vote out Jasmine, because I don't think Jasmine's got it.
I don't think Jasmine's got it.
Jasmine's my backup, anyways. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with Jasmine.
If she doesn't have the tiger on her side,
she's trash. I was just saying a big cat. If you're not letting Raja...
I don't want to use Jasmine, but if y'all are going to discount Nala, then...
I think Black Panther's out, right? I think Shuri's out. That was kind of a...
Classic cartoon Disney.
I can't do superheroes.
So, and then...
I am voting out Mulan on the... That is my vote. I'm not saying it needs to go, but like I'm planting my flag on that one.
That she wouldn't be in the top?
Yeah, I'm putting my flag on that one for like multiple.
Why?
Reasons. One, she's not a princess. Two, like
but she is a Disney princess.
She is considered a Disney princess.
I'm okay with that. But also, if you're
we're fighting over that semantic.
No, there's other. If you want to talk like when in that
whoa,
movie.
Wait! If we're gonna get
go ahead.
I love this.
In that movie outside the firework, did she do anything? Never. She didn't win any engagement. Mulan pulled like a lawn chair in an MMA fight.
Guys, we all know that it's Kida from Atlantis.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
All right, late entry.
Oh.
Is she considered a Disney princess?
Yes, she's a princess.
She's literally the princess of Atlantis.
She's got thousands of years of experience.
But she's Disney princess.
Clutch.
She is Disney.
That is so clutch, man.
But she's the only one, and this is why Jane Foster's ruled that. She's the only one that's a princess of a purely fictional place.
That you know for a fact that Atlantis exists.
I don't. I know that Atlanta exists.
Dude,
and that's
come on.
It.
The Eye of the Sahara or Cadiz, Spain are the two most logical locations.
Nope.
Garrett, I like you. You have fun facts. I'm enjoying this a lot, actually.
You have some cool geological places that are out there that, they look cool. Doesn't mean they're actually the lost city of Atlantis. No. Could it have been another civilization or, you know, I don't know, a glacier that melted in that one spot? I don't know. Probably not.
Like, or the Loch Ness Monster.
My favorite Disney princess.
Favorite Disney princess.
Yeah.
Do we think Merida?
I still think Merida can win.
Speaking of popcorn,
no,
we're not putting Merida up against Mulan. We're putting Merida and Mulan up against the weakest.
I'm not saying
physical combat. Fighter in the MMA. One-to-one, hand-to-hand combat.
Right.
It's
and I'm
gotta
not
be
saying...
Mulan because she's the only one who has real training in that duo.
We never
Merida has bow training
or pot of hand.
Or pot of hand. If we, I honestly, Rick, at this point, I'm on Nala's team. Fuck it.
I want to give you Nala so bad.
Let's make this ancient Roman gladiator MMA.
Only because didn't technically specify. And I'm not willing to go through the MMA rule book that says no lions.
It's not going to be there. It's not going to be there.
I'm bandwagoning on this because
there is no rule in MMA. I'm going to blanket statement. There is no rule that says no lions as long as they're not fictional.
Let's look it up.
characters in the Disney universe.
A fully grown Nala, if we're going technicalities here, a fully grown Nala would probably outweigh every MMA fighter.
She'd be super heavy, correct.
Therefore, she couldn't beat anyone.
I'm gonna need you to explain that to me.
So if she's a baby, like in the beginning of the movie,
there would be no way.
No, I get. Right. But
if she's an adult, she's weighing 350, 400 pounds.
Super heavyweight, correct.
Which there are no other participants.
That's not true.
There are no 400 pound MMA fighters.
Because super heavyweight is like 200 and above.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah, I just clicked off it, so I need to go back and find.
I'll take your word. I didn't know it was greater than.
Yeah, so it's a greater than.
Okay, then okay, then we're good. I think for the purposes of moving on, we're gonna go Nala. I think that's got enough votes to win. If anyone listening can provide documentation, actual documentation that says animals are not allowed in MMA fights, we will revisit the subject and choose again. Is everyone okay with that?
Did we decide number two?
No, I think we just leave it open-ended. We go Nala,
Mulan,
question mark, and then we go from there.
Is that going to be the title of the episode?
Wait.
Nala, question
mark. No, but this segment would have been great to have some popcorn with.
Thank God. I needed it.
I actually had some in my cupboard and I was gonna make it, but I did not have time.
We don't have time. I do too. Cool. You guys ready? Cool. Sounds good. Guys, we have not established what the best thing to put on popcorn is. We haven't done it. So knowing we don't know what number one is, I want to know what's the second best popcorn topping. Who has thoughts?
It's kettle corn.
So kettle is your...
So popcorn is the second best topping to popcorn.
Kettle corn.
Right.
Yeah, kettle so corn kettle corn on top
so
of popcorn.
So putting on popcorn on top of popcorn is the second
kettle best. Kettle corn is a flavor of popcorn.
I get what you're saying, but you're telling me the second... You're adding to popcorn kettle corn to make it better.
No, the kettle.
No, process. I'm saying the second best flavor of popcorn is kettle corn.
Okay, so salt, like
the topping.
Okay, all right, yeah.
To put on top of is the topping of kettle corn, which is a salty, sweet flavoring.
Yeah. I loathe you more than words can describe right now.
Yeah, Rick hates kettle corn.
I understand.
I would have to go. Cinnamon and sugar.
Nope. Ooh. Change my answer.
Tastes like a Garrett.
Go ahead, Garrett.
I was gonna say, it tastes like a churro, and there's nothing wrong with churros
except when they're not churros,
right?
So I don't mind either of those answers as flavorings of popcorn, but they can't be two, right? We've missed the two best flavors.
No, they've got to. B2 because
wait. I just want to be clear before we go down this rabbit hole. The question is not flavoring. It's the second best thing to put on popcorn.
Which is flavoring.
No.
It doesn't have to be.
I'm going
to
jump out there and answer this one. The second best thing to put on popcorn is my mouth. That is the second best thing to put on popcorn.
Your foot?
No, I hate that.
The question wasn't flavoring. It was to
you're putting your mouth so you eat popcorn like this.
I think the actual
first of all,
question,
if you haven't been to a movie with me, you would know the answer to that question is yes. Yes, I do. I hold the bag and I put my face into it.
So I may have written that. Hold on. I think
you're holding to the letter of the law. Not
I did
the spirit, and the, as much as I usually love
say
it.
Say that.
It's gone too far, Rick.
In the text message, I did say that at the beginning of the episode, I did reword it to what's the second best topping.
Okay, my answer still holds. It's my mouth. to
top. And I have to know what your first is.
Nope, that's not the question.
No, that is a different episode.
That's a different conversation.
That's a rated R episode.
Mine's real simple. I think the second best thing you put on popcorn is just salt.
Interesting. Like, why salt?
Because popcorn without salt, not very good. I think there might be something better to put on it.
I think
salt is just like, if you don't have it, because I think the popcorn needs two things. The second thing should be salt.
Agreed.
I do think, Travis, there are flavor combinations out there.
Not better than salt.
That includes salt in them. Like salted caramel is on my list.
At that point, it's like not popcorn. Might as well not be popcorn. I want to taste the popcorn.
Well, if you use salted butter with whatever other topping you use to make it cold, then the salt's already there.
Sure.
I mean, but yeah, more
in my opinion, we're talking about like chip flavors. We're not talking about just like salt and black pepper and onion.
I'm going real simple. I'm talking if I got
everything. We're not individually listing the ingredients. We're talking about a flavor profile.
No, I didn't say flavor.
That is put on.
We're not talking flavor profile.
I didn't say what's the best flavor. I said topping. And if I take the popcorn out of the microwave, I'm putting salt on it.
The fact that you think about popcorn and think of individual toppings to put on it makes me worry for you.
I didn't say individual top. I just said I'm putting salt on my popcorn.
Think about it. If you are putting more than one topping on your
popcorn. I'm usually not, because I don't think that it needs to be that way. And
I'm worried for you.
I'm putting one topping on my popcorn. The second topping is my mouth. Or my hand, if you want to get technical. But
I'm gonna terms jump of out
flavor
there.
Profile.
I didn't even write Rick's down, just so you guys know.
That's fine. It's the right answer.
It's the left answer. Not. Ben, what's your answer?
I think I can appease everybody, because I had two, one for an actual like flavoring type of thing, like what Drew's saying, and then one for an actual topping, kind of like what you know Travis and other people are saying. So if I'm going to go with the traditional idea of a coating or a topping, it's capturing that sweet and salty. So Travis, you like salt. Salt would have been my first. Chocolate is the second. You get that sweet and salty flavor on your popcorn. A amazing combination. If you've never had salty chocolate popcorn, then you are not living. It's phenomenal.
That I've had that. That is, that's a really solid one.
Phenomenal. I'd rather have my uncle visit me in the usually middle of the night and have chocolate popcorn.
Well, okay. I have nothing to say to that. I apologize. But the actual topping that makes everything better is bacon. So yes, Drew, this is thinking about popcorn as a nacho type of thing. I have done that before. It is amazing putting a little bit of cheese popcorn and bacon toast on popcorn.
No, nope, you don't get one. You don't get to say cheese and bacon. You get
one. No. Cheese would be first. Bacon would be second. But my answer is chocolate across the board.
Okay.
But I had to throw that out there because that is a phenomenal combination for popcorn. You've never done popcorn
nachos?
Is
your number one?
What? Pop chips?
You said pop chips.
If he's doing pop chips.
Yeah, if I'm doing it that way. But no, I mean, my first one would be salt and then chocolate. And chocolate being the second.
His answer is formally chocolate.
Formally chocolate.
You can move on, Rick.
Okay.
Moving on.
All right. So we've got, to recap, we've got the kettle flavoring and or process. We've got cinnamon sugar. We've got salt. We've got chocolate. And we've got Rick's mouth.
Hello. I'm going to go ahead and vote Rick's mouth out of this whole scenario.
I didn't even write it down.
Second that.
Hey, points for creativity.
What's the right answer? And it should be your mouths is the way you're interpreting that.
You didn't say that. You said your mouth. You said Rick's
mouth. No, you're right.
I'm topping.
You're right.
No, regardless, he's done. I got him on the technicality, Drew. He's done.
You're right.
He's out.
You're right. But I will try and eat everybody.
I am so glad to be a part of tonight.
All right.
You've seen the greatest breakdown of... actually wanting to do the segment.
Well, if that's the route we're going, then kettle corn on top of regular popcorn should be out, because those two should never be mixed. So I'm voting Drew's out as my.
I'm not a fan of kettle corn. It doesn't taste.
It's the worst.
I love it. I love the sweet and salty together.
I love sweet and salty too, but if I'm going to go sweet and salty, it's going to be chocolate coating over that salty popcorn.
Yeah.
I just don't eat it with popcorn. I like it on other things, but I don't like it with my popcorn.
Agreed, but it's better than kettle corn.
Then it's just too much chocolate.
Whoa.
That's not a real thing.
Whoa.
It is.
I have a 6.5-year-old in the other room who would fight you on that.
If you want to go caramel corn, that's a different thing. But chocolate covered popcorn, not my favorite.
I don't think I can do chocolate, just because it'll end up slightly melting on my fingers, and I don't want that.
That's the best part.
That's literally the best part.
I'm switching camps here. Cinnamon sugar, I love it. It's out for me though. Chocolate, Ben, you've convinced me.
Okay, so we're down to salt and chocolate.
If I have to choose between the two, I go salt.
All right. It's salt. We got it. That's three.
So then what's the first? Because salt
doesn't matter.
No, that's not the question.
Nope.
Doesn't matter.
No. Different.
Matters.
Different. All right. Salt second, chocolate's first.
Question. Nope.
It could be. Oh, sorry. We didn't say
Hi,
that.
Guys.
If that's
what's up, Logan?
I will have this conversation right now. Chocolate is not the first.
Not.
But that's no, fine. Sorry. You chose.
We will not have second. This. That means chocolate discussion has
to
be today.
You're uninvited to the rest of my life if you think chocolate is the first best flavor to popcorn.
Anyway, I went ahead and convinced the bouncer to not kick us out for being too rowdy. So, guys, it's time for last call. Guys, for tonight's last call, based on last episode, I wanted to get a little bit more out there with last call. There are no wrong answers, just like most last calls. This is more opinion based, but I went and found 9 paradoxes that I'm wanting you guys just to gut reaction, whatever you think might be the right answer off the top of your head, just come out with that. There's no way to actually answer these things. That's why they're paradoxes. So just listen to the paradox, give your best answer, and then we're going to move on. We're going to learn a little bit, or maybe we'll hear some weird, funny things that come out of this. I don't know. We're playing around with it. We're going to see what's going to happen. You guys ready? Don't care. Here we go. Garrett, Drew, Ben, Rick, that's the order. Garrett, your first paradox. I'm going to start with two long ones, and then they'll get shorter. So imagine that a time traveler in today's current age buys a copy of the book Hamlet, or I guess the play Hamlet, from a bookstore, travels back in time to Elizabethan London, and hands the already written book to Shakespeare, who then copies it and claims it as his own work. Over the centuries that follow, Hamlet's reprinted and reproduced countless number of times until finally a copy of it ends up back in the same original bookstore where the time traveler finds it and takes it back to Shakespeare. Who then wrote Hamlet?
Well, if we're gonna get mystical about this,
yeah. First thought, which wouldn't, because again, there's no wrong answer.
I'm going to invoke the holy man Neil Gaiman on this one. It was Morpheus, the Lord of Dreams, who inspired the entire thing into existence, and he's part of the Endless. So it would make sense that it would be part of a paradoxical loop.
Fair enough, Drew. Who then wrote Hamlet?
I'd say he's probably not wrong, but with time travel rules, Shakespeare still ultimately wrote it.
Ben.
I'm going to go Doc Brown.
Okay. Hamlet. Rick, who wrote Hamlet?
Shakespeare.
Okay. Garrett, back to you. This is actually one of the paradoxes I mentioned last episode, or is the paradox I mentioned. Theseus was a mythical king and the hero of Athens. He did a lot of sailing, and his famed ship was eventually kept as sort of a memorial/museum piece. As time went on, the ship was replaced piece by piece. The process of replacing the rotten planks with new ones continued until the entire ship, every single piece, was made out of new pieces. Is this completely refurbished vessel still the ship of Theseus?
Was it repainted exactly the same, or was it just repaired?
It was, everything was up to exactly how it was supposed to be.
So all
visually, you can't tell the difference.
I would say it is. I would say no, it's not the same ship.
Okay, Drew.
It's been altered. It's been changed.
I would also say not the same ship.
Ben.
It is 100% the same ship, because every time you added something new, the original ship took that on as the original ship. So it was no longer a new piece. It was just another piece to the original ship. So even if you all made it to new stuff, yes, it is absolutely the original ship.
Okay, Rick.
Yes, original ship.
Garrett, back to you. We're going to go with the liar paradox. It's a very simple premise, but kind of mind-boggling. Tell me if this is true or false. This sentence is false.
Yes, it's false.
Drew.
True.
Ben.
Quite the paradox.
Indeed.
I think I'm going to have to lean towards true, but man, could I go and do a spiral on this one. Okay.
False.
The omnipotence paradox. Can an omnipotent being, so knows everything out there, can an omnipotent being create a rock too heavy for itself to lift? It can do anything, it can know everything, all the things, it's perfect in every way. Can it create a rock too heavy for itself to lift? Garrett.
No.
So it can't do everything. Drew.
Yes.
Ben.
Yes.
Yes.
Rick. The intentionally blank page. Garrett, you might know this as an author. Many documents contain pages on which the text, "This page is intentionally left blank," is printed, thereby making the page not blank. Is that page blank or not blank?
They use invisible ink. Of course it's blank.
Okay, it's blank, yep. Drew.
Not blank.
Ben.
It's not blank. There's something on it.
Rick.
Probably my favorite page in the world. But no, it is not blank.
Okay. So next, Garrett, next one. The universe is so massive that statistically there must be other intelligent life. So the question is, where is everyone else?
I mean, have you seen Earth? They're all passing us by. We're the wrong side of town, man.
I'm going to put down too advanced to care.
Sure, let's go.
Perfect. Drew, where's everyone else?
I mean, I would say technically we are on the ass end of nowhere as far as our galaxy is concerned.
We're in an outer band, that's true.
Not going to get into it on this episode.
Okay, so, we'll put TBD as a cop-out. Got it. Ben, where is everyone?
Where are the aliens? I don't know. Back in time? Isn't that the song? I'm going to go back in time.
In the past, got it. And Rick, where are the aliens at, bro?
Here.
Okay. I've been to New York.
We are the
documentary. Last question. Garrett.
Yep.
A heterological word is one that does not describe itself. So therefore, does heterological describe itself?
I'm going to have to say no.
Okay. Drew.
Yeah, absolutely does.
Okay. Ben?
Yes. Question mark.
Question mark. Rick.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was an interesting / different / fun / weird last call. Glad we ventured out. Drew just left. I think his brain broke so much that he just straight up and left. I'm not going to try to recap these because, again, there's no wrong answers here. There are paradoxes, and paradoxes don't have answers. So, therefore, Drew's just playing air hockey like he normally does randomly on these episodes. with that, we're getting kicked out of the bar. But before we go, Garrett, tell us one more time, what are you doing and where can people find you and your stuff?
So you guys can find me on X and Instagram at GKJ_publishing, where I talk about my books. I talk about my show. The show is called The Right Way. And you can find me on YouTube. My channel is simply GKJ Publishing. That way it keeps everything consistent across the board. And The Right Way, we talk book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. My book series, The Archives of Async Ran, all five books are available either directly through me, which you can connect with the website through Instagram and Twitter, or X, I guess now, Twix, whatever it is now. And you can find them on Amazon as well.
Love it. Love it. And loved having you on, Garrett. That was
it's fantastic. Been a
blast. You did great. First of all, we've had some guests like Ben who just are terrible all the time. And you did fan freaking tastic.
Travis, I did want to share one thing with you, and I forgot about this.
Go for it.
I just realized that you have a Lego mock of the Millennium Falcon right behind you. I'm also a co-host on a Star Wars podcast called War of the Stars.
Give me on there.
I'd love to have you guys come. Anyone who's a Star Wars fan would love to have you come on there.
We should talk about the last episode of Ahsoka.
I haven't seen it yet. That's literally what I'm doing after this.
So
literally what I'm doing. Literally, anytime you need a Star Wars nerd, myself, Drew, we'll be on. Well, so that does it for this episode of the Bar Banter podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. Garrett said X. I'm still going to call it Twitter for a while.
Yeah,
I'm not breaking that habit.
I'm not
yet.
Putting the X in that basket.
It's Twitter.
Not for a while. It's for the rest of the time.
Fair enough. Follow us there. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on YouTube. We're going to have a TikTok at some point, maybe. I don't know. We're going to have new content out there every so often. And if you want, you can help us pay for our bar tab. There is a link in the description where you can help support the podcast. We can buy a beer with it. We can buy new equipment. We can buy Rick a date. There's lots of different things. Lots of different things we could do. So click the link in the description. Find out different ways you can support us. If you have topic ideas, let us know. But at the end of the day, we're not going to care because this is our podcast.
And you're just along for the ride.
There you go.
I was wondering.
Sorry, I wanted to save for the end this time.
I liked it.